Hello, Dean.
Pierre.
Before we start, I have to apologize. You texted me a while ago, and I kept meaning to text you back, and I spaced out on it, and I apologize.
How great was that shot?
What do you mean?
Did you see that? I sent you a picture. I sent you a photo.
Oh, I didn't get that photo. All I got was a text.
Oh, man, I sent you a photo. It was. Remember when Scott and I were out and about? I think we were promoting Number Four, and we were out with an acoustic guitar going across the country.
Yeah, that's the first time I met you,
dude. It's a picture from that.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
if you can find it and send it over again, I'd like to see it.
And I wrote something like, you know, dude, you look exactly the same. Like, you know, you can tell. Like, there's proof that I was once young and pretty, but you're still young and pretty looking.
I was quite weighty in those days.
Dude, you look like double the weight.
I've lost 50 pounds since then, but anyway, that's another story. But you are still young and pretty, I have to tell you, and I'm going to tell you. So there it is. I've already blown 1 minute of our 10-minute interview with that, but
okay.
I don't care, and I know you don't. But send it on to me. If you could send it again, I'd love to get that. Because I just came across the anniversary of when Robert invited me on stage at the Tower, and a couple of listeners took pictures of it, and my little mind is completely blown. I have no business being on the platform with the four of you guys bowing, of all things, and I'm just...
That was great, man. Come on, we were in Philly, dude. Come on.
Oh, it's amazing. All right, let's get to what we have to talk about. 93.3 WMMR, and with us at this moment, our friend Dean DeLeo of STP, who are going to do a show. Thank God. Live music just can't be denied as I see it, and it's going to be tonight on Nugs TV at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Dean, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, Pierre. How are you, man?
I am doing great. So I heard this was Robert's idea, that he just said, we've got to do something. You had like over 100 dates that had been stashed away, and everyone's been out of their mind. And so this idea came about. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's about right. But, you know, I'm really quite good at being lazy. I'm really good at it. I'm the master of it, quite honestly. But, you know, there's been a lot of tragedy and a lot of really sad stuff to see going on with this number 19 that's surrounding our planet right now. But, you know, I've been making the best of it, just really enjoying being home with my family and the kids. And I love it, having the kids out of school, man. Just, you know, home every day, and we're homeschooling them. And it's just been very interesting. But, you know, as wonderful and great as that is, you still kind of yearn for life as we once knew it, you know?
Your day job, as it were. your night job, I suppose. What were you doing? What have you been doing over the last couple of months? Like, what would an average day look like in Dean DeLeo's life?
Let's see, man. It's a, like I said, it's just spending time with my family, really, really immersed in that. And we've been just doing a lot of hiking and just heading out to the beach. And you know, I've been writing a lot, playing a lot of guitar.
That's so great. I'm thrilled that you've had a good time off, so to speak. I'm even more thrilled, though, that this amazing band of yours is going to be doing this show. And the challenge has been, as I see it, live music just won't be denied. There's a different forms that people have been creeping music in, certainly the virtual things. But I must admit, I'm growing a little weary of those. But the idea that we're going to actually see a full show and that you're going to go back to the core album and play the whole thing is pretty phenomenal. Where is it going to happen? Is it in a club or a small rehearsal space? Or obviously no people are going to be there, but I'm just curious.
So there's a place that we've been rehearsing at for many, many, many years. It's a rehearsal studio called Mates. And it's out in the wonderful San Fernando Valley. And we're going to be doing it in a room there. There's a bunch of rooms, but there's a room there we particularly like called the Gold Room.
Cool.
And it's just lined with, you know, kind of wonderful gold curtains that you would see right out of grandma's house in the 1970s.
Yeah. That's perfect.
This is perfect.
It really is. Are you just going to go right into core and do that first? Will there be any other songs, or will it just be that, essentially?
No, we're going to do core top to bottom, man. It's been interesting. There's a couple songs in there we haven't played in many years, so it was interesting kind of jumping back into that stuff. You kind of figure out what you played 30 years ago, and it's interesting because styles change in a year, let alone 30. So you kind of start digging into what you did back then. You kind of scratching your head like, who was that?
Well, I think you had said in one interview that one of those songs was Naked Sunday, another one Where the River Grows, and I think Naked Sunday maybe you played on SNL or something, but it was like in 1993. So
yeah,
when you've been rehearsing those, what's that like, pulling a couple of those out?
It's been really fun. You got to think, that was 30 years ago, so we were full of full of vinegar, man. So you kind of jump back into that. Naked Sunday, it's a pretty demanding song. Interestingly enough, it's two chords through the entire song. It's just each part has a different intensity about it. But really, that song is just two chords for the entire song. But it's just, what was kind of cool, I kind of forgot about some things during the recording process. And when I went and listened to the record, I remembered that Eric went into the kitchen and took out a bunch of colanders and strainers and pots and pans. The percussive stuff that you hear on the record is Eric hitting all the pots and pans.
Wow. That's cool. I didn't ever know that. That's way cool.
Yeah. Like I said, man, there was a colander and a couple pots and pans and just some metal. And Eric just had his stick sitting on the floor with an overhead mic. And we just cut that for the percussive element of the track.
It's Dean DeLeo that we're speaking with, and STP is going to do all of Core. It'll be this evening on nugs.tv. That's how you can sign up and get it. It's only $9.99, and in these days of rather expensive concerts, that's a deal. When you finish the album, will you do some other songs too, or is it just going to be Core?
It's just going to be Core, and
cool.
We see how things go here. And personally, and I know for Robert as well, and I'm sure the other guys are game for it, but we'd maybe like to do this with each record.
Oh, that's great.
Kind of grab each record top to bottom.
If we jump to current times, Perfido was just a beautiful record, and I felt that it didn't get its due with this pandemic. We got Fare Thee Well, I think, in December, and the record came in February, and then there was going to be a show in Atlantic City that was going to be the whole, a lot of stuff from that record, and the whole concert was going to be in that style of presentation, a more acoustic with all these different instruments that you guys have been working in. And I think Jeff had an illness before that happened, so that had to be put off. But then we thought, well, all right, we're still going to see the band this summer. And then, of course, we know what happened then. I'd love to see more, done just on Perdita, because that was a lovely, lovely record. You have to be proud of that one.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that record turned out pretty well. It's always, the task at hand is try to get what's going on inside your being to come out of the speakers. And we did a pretty good job with that. And there's just some extraordinary musicians on that record. The string players that we had, part of the LA Philharmonic, and just some extraordinary players. And this one woman who goes by the name of Abe, she played just some incredible flute. And, Robert got to, have Marxophone Will Travel. If Robert can play Marxophone anywhere, believe me, he will.
Well, that brings me back to this summer, because speaking of concerts, I found it quite interesting when we announced this show some time ago, and it, like all the other ones, is not happening. But you were going to be touring. You would have played July 19th over in Camden with Nickelback. So you were on a big tour with Nickelback, and I just found that kind of an interesting pairing. And that's no disrespect against Nickelback, but I was kind of surprised by that pairing. How did that come about?
Well, they simply asked.
Cool.
And they simply things usually go from manager to manager unless somebody has one another's phone numbers. But yeah, just one day I got a call from management. Hey, you got this offer to go out and do 50 dates.
Wow.
With Nickelback. And you don't pay for a thing. We're going to tote everything.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And you kind of look at that and you go, wow, that's a nice opportunity. And I've met those guys. Boy, I met those guys way, way, way back in the day. Dig this, man. You know what? I kind of forget where we were, but Philly kind of rings a bell, maybe. So we were doing a radio thing, and they were coming in after us to do a radio thing, and their record had just come out, their first record. And we were dying because they said, you guys got to come outside. They had our old tour bus.
Come on.
We got your old bus. We heard, yeah. We all had a laugh because they were like, is this your old tour bus? We heard it was. We're like, yeah, it sure was, man. We had that bus a little while back. So it was a good laugh. And they're just real sweet cats, you know.
Yeah, they're
Canadian,
very nice.
Man, come on.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong. I've met them and interviewed them. They're very nice guys. They've sort of gotten a bad rap in the critical press as not being cool or hip, but they're great guys. So it was just an interesting pairing, and I thought it would have been fun because, you know, it would have exposed Nickelback fans to STP and vice versa. I thought it would have been a nice show, but is there a chance that could happen next summer again, or everything gets reset, or we don't know?
Oh, my gosh. You know, we, like you said earlier, Pierre, we had 100 shows pulled out from under us in just 2020, and nothing's been rescheduled. Everything's just been, you know, pretty much canceled, so I don't know what's happening, and with this COVID that's around us, you know, I don't see anything being rescheduled for even 2021. So we just got to all sit tight and see what happens here. I don't want to get too heavy into it, man, but you know, this thing has really been disruptive, man. You know, I'm sure you see it. I'm sure plenty of us see it, but these small business owners and this industry in particular, my industry, you know, from our crew to stagehands to people that work at the venues to bus drivers to truck drivers. I mean, everyone has been, you know, just hit so hard and completely turned on their side. And it's just sad, man. It's really sad. And then, you know, you throw in that, like, this stuff is killing people, you know. It's just I just hope something breaks, man. I just hope something really, really comes through and we just get back on track here.
Well, you raise a really good point. We've done a lot of discussion about that here because you think of people, shop owners and different things, but a lot of people don't think of road crews, be it local or touring road crews, because those men and women, though they live to be on the road. You know, the same guy that might be a roadie for Metallica might jump to Madonna when that tour is over. You know, and they don't have 401ks,
right,
and they don't have medical plans, and they depend on that life. So not only the road people who are local and national, but like you said, the ticket takers and the concession people and the ushers. And I mean, it's a huge amount of people who've been completely shut down. And in the midst of all the other people we notice who have had trouble, it's really good that you raise that because my heart goes out to a lot of those folks. They're great, great people.
Listen, man, you know, we are, when I say we, I mean anyone who gets up on stage and plays music, everyone and anyone who takes that stage and grabs a guitar, a microphone, drums, whatever it may be, we are nothing without the people all dressed in black behind the stage. They make it so we just walk in and play. They do it all. And honestly, man, we'd be nothing without them. And they're the ones, they're the unsung heroes, man. They're the ones that really make the show go off. And you know, it's like they want nothing more than their band, and I say that with an ownership involved. They want nothing more than their band to take the stage, just have a great show. And they load in at 8 a.m. and they load out at 1 a.m. So they're working 14, 15-hour days. And, you know, they are truly the unsung heroes, man, and we'd be nothing without them. So, yeah, it's sad. It weighs upon us, you know, greatly.
So well said. It makes me think of Jackson Brown's song, The Loadout, which is a tribute to those working folks, you know. You know, music has I know you got to go shortly, but what I found kind of interesting in terms of musicians, besides the virtual stuff, is there are different bands who've tried different things. Dropkick Murphys come to mind. They always play, with the Irish heritage, they always play on St. Paddy's Day in Boston. And so they were the first band I saw do a set from a club with no one in the audience. And then as the separation became more apparent, they did a set about a month and a half ago from Fenway Park with all these amazing drone cameras. And they were all 6 feet from each other. They were on the field at Fenway Park, but a baseball stadium, a legendary one at that. But no one was there. So they'd finish the song. And, you know, you might find this kind of interesting when you guys take the stage this evening, because you'll finish a song and there's no applause. You know, but in that kind of a setting, it's just been kind of interesting. And then there's this drive-in concept. We're going to do a couple of shows with the Struts and with some of the guys from Shinedown, where people can drive a car into a parking lot and there'll be a stage set up. That's sort of an idea that's getting a little traction. But it speaks to the idea that you just can't contain the live music.
No, it's just such a way of life for so many of us, you know, and you know, gosh, I feel bad for those who just aren't affected by music like most of us are, and I'm sure most of your listeners are. It's just such a powerful entity, you know, and it's just it just permeates our soul, you know, and it's just especially in a time like this, it's like needed more than ever, you know.
Last question. You're going to do the album Core, the first record from STP. It also won a Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance in 1994 at the Grammys. And I never knew if you guys were there to accept it that night. If you were, what was it like? If you weren't, what was your reaction when you heard?
Okay, so we were there. We were very late in getting there because we were all going over in one car, and there was one particular band member that showed up to the lobby about 20 minutes late. I won't mention any names. So as we were driving to Radio City Music Hall, our publicist, Lisa Gray from Atlantic Records, calls us, "You guys just won. Where are you?" We're like, "We're in a car."
Oh, my God.
So we were unable to receive it because, like I said, we got on the road about 20, 25 minutes later than we should have. But I'll tell you what was very memorable about that evening is when we got there. We did get there, and I went inside, and lo and behold, there was Curtis Mayfield. So I got down on one knee, and I put my head in his lap. "Mr. Mayfield, thank you for everything."
Oh, that's great.
So that was a pretty big night. And then, of course, it was really nice. The pinnacle of the evening was, but you got to think, man, dig this. I had to go to a phone booth, call my mom back on the West Coast. I went to a phone booth at, you know, I forget where, but called my mom, said, "Ma, we won." And pre-cell phones, man.
Wow, that's great. All of Core will be played this evening on Nugs.tv. That's how you can get your tickets. Very reasonably priced at $9.99. You'll see this amazing band with so much history that we love so much. Their name is Stone Temple Pilots, and they're going to do All of Core tonight. You don't want to miss it. And this may forebode. This may be the beginning of some more of the amazing albums that this band has made being done in the same way. So check it out tonight. We all will. Dean DeLeo, we thank you for spending some time with us on MMR. It's such a great pleasure to catch up with you.
Always great to be talking with you, Pierre.
All right, you got other work to do, my friend. You have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, my brother.
Take care.
Bye, Pierre.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.